silver plate wouldn't work. It would have to be a firm alloy of silver, but the entire thing would have to be silver. It could be alloyed sufficiently so that it wouldn't be so flexible that it's not easy to use, but the purest silver would be the best, so just use as little alloy as possible because you can't be certain where that alloy is and it might interrupt the flow of energy. How big are these metallic needles? Of course, a needle would taper down to a smaller diameter, not necessarily a point like a sharp point, but it might taper down to a smaller diameter and taper up to something larger. So it might be something like a... Oh, let me try to get you a measurement. Holds hands a few inches apart. Probably no bigger than that, at its widest point near the top. 2 inches? A little less than 2 inches, maybe 1 7/8. It would taper down the handle gradually and slowly. The needle would be maybe 5 or 6 feet tall, so that when you got to be within about 16 to 18 inches of the other end, it would begin to taper down more significantly, to about an inch. And then it would taper down more so that by the time it got to the final point, it would maybe be about 3/8 of an inch, and that end wouldn't be an absolute sharp point. You don't want it to be too pointy, otherwise it'll break off. But it would be no less than 1/8 of an inch at the very end and would come to a slightly rounded tip, just rounded enough so that if you took it and moved it across your arm, it wouldn't raise a scratch. By a scratch, I mean any disruption of the skin. And two people can hold them anywhere they feel an earthquake is going to happen, and it will stop it. It would be better for women to do it. There are people who have skills, they can feel energies. Don't do it where the ground is weak and unsettled. Try to do it on ground that is strong and firm, which may be near ground that is weak and unsettled. Put it in these places, and that strength spreads out completely in every direction but mostly will be immediately drawn to the areas where the land is potentially its most fragile or where the Earth, or whatever planet or moon you're on, is the most unsettled. It won't just control or make a hard surface, it will tend to cure. Meaning it will calm and create a cure for the planet or the planetary body within that fragile area. So it will actually create a curing situation, so that that body is feeling better, much the same as acupuncture works on a human being. And this is something you see on many other planets. I've seen practitioners do it. We need to do that here. Well, it could be helpful. This is one of the techniques that could be helpful and might encourage people to believe that there is something they can do about it, by the evidence of their own experience. Next headline, Souls Welcomed Elsewhere. There's a paragraph here in the book that says the Hindu is one of the earlier races on the planet, those who've reached an optimum level of consciousness who were extracted. Who extracted them, and where did they go or where were they sent? Of course, the reference there is not quite right, because Hindu is, of course, a religion, a philosophy, something you live by, it's not a race. Well, that's what it says. I understand, but it needs to be corrected. These people were not lifted off from the cultures from which the religion, philosophy seems to flow, but their souls were welcomed when they came to the end of their natural cycles. Their souls were welcomed elsewhere to resume their positions. Wherever they wanted to go? No special place? That's right. But sometimes things are told in a story form because that's how the recipient can not only best hear it, but more to the point in this case, can best pass it on to others who might feel less threatened to hear it that way. Essentially, the meaning of this, which started out as a story, is that spiritual progress is worth doing and can only improve your life while you're here. Next headline, Leah, the Cultural Specialist and Social Diplomat, Part 3. August 10, 2001, this is Leah. The Professor's Fate. Everybody cares about the Professor. One of the things Wendell Stevens asked was, what happened to the Professor? I know that you don't want to state specifically what happened to him, but I'm going to read a sentence, and I think it's broad enough that it won't lay the blame anywhere. I think the professor was either abducted or arrested by government agents, investigated, interrogated, possibly tortured, and never escaped and died. Is that what happened to him? No comment. It does just the opposite of what you said is the paint, it puts the blame on someone. But we're not saying who the someone is. It could be anybody in the world. No, no, you said the government. By government agents, I meant anybody who wanted to know more about his contacts. But that's blame. Well, we know that he walked out of his house without saying goodbye to his beloved daughter. He didn't have any socks on, he had his shorts on, he wasn't planning on going anywhere. He was last seen sitting on a park bench close to his home, and then he disappeared. So somebody took him. Is it important? Yes. When you read this book, you just learn to love him. He's a wonderful, caring, feeling, poetic, intelligent person, and you want to know what happened to him. He's still alive, he just isn't in that body anymore. He is what we would call reincarnated, then? Yes. He looks like one of us. But he doesn't have a memory of this life. Why would he want to? The only memory he has is the feelings, the good feelings. I can assure you, the reason he vanished didn't have anything to do with him losing love for his loved ones. I'm reassuring whoever might read this that he disappeared without his permission. Thank you very much. Next headline, another name for the negative Syrians. I would like to ask you, what do you call the race of beings we have called negative Syrians, who blew their planet up? They must have had a name out in the rest of civilization. Was there a planetary cultural name or something you can give us that we can use as their name? Would you be able to pronounce it? Well, as long as we can spell it. They're not negative anymore, but negative Syrians is our only description or name for the people from that planet in Sirius. I'd be hard-pressed to pronounce this in your language. Shudstst, speaks very fast. Something like that. XXDXEHXEH, the cultural name for the negative Syrians. Laughs. Actually, I think I'm missing something there. Writes, yes. SHDJQDJDJ spelled phonetically. Laughs, well, I'll write. I have something that I can use, even though we can't pronounce it. Didn't they have a nickname? The pronunciation I provided was pretty close in your language. They wouldn't call it that, it wouldn't be as loud. For one thing, you don't think about this too much, speaking English, but there are languages, even on your own Earth, where part of the communication, even your own to an extent, has to do with how loud it is or what tone. Is it up high in the register, or down low? All these things have meaning. It has affected your colloquial language a bit, but it is more pronounced in other cultures. Did you become acquainted with all the languages on Earth as part of your diplomatic duties? Or at least the ones your contacts spoke? Acquainted, not versatile or fluent in them, but sufficiently acquainted so that if I recognized a language, I could access some mechanism that would assist the translation process. And so recognition was what was most important, and then being able to speak some of the languages was useful. Well, English, they say, is a language of commerce. Spanish and French are more nuanced. I don't speak English. I'm using the instrument right now. I wasn't trained to speak English. You're doing pretty good. It must be a good instrument. It's very valuable, and I would say it is the most important piece of technology that we or other cultures could provide to you right now. There are a few instruments from different planetary cultures that have been gifted to various Earth beings or, unintentionally, to governments. The whole point was intended so they could be reproduced and provided to everyone so that not just the basic meaning of somebody else's language would be known to you, but more to the point, that the subtle meaning would be known. When people say things in another language, as if you ought to know, say you understand that language. Most of the time you don't get it. Absolutely. I would love to have one just to talk to people on Earth. That's what I mean, that's what the gift was for. It wasn't for talking to people in space, it was for talking to each other on Earth. You have to perfect that before you can seriously consider being a candidate to meet cultures from other planets. Why would any culture want to come to Earth if you reject some of your own? On page 129, yes. Can't you meet me over by the mountain or somewhere and slip me one of those? Laughs, that's good, I like that. That's funny. Next headline, global communication keeps the Xums at bay. You keep talking in the original book about this race called the Xums. I would like to know what that means to us. They're not the negative Syrians, they're not the Xpotas, and they're not the beings from the negative future timeline who worked with the Nazis. What is the context of the reference in the book? Constantly you're saying they are going to come and take us over and subject us to their rule, that they're going to come in the late 1990s and that they have been on the earth plotting this since 1914. In our search into our history and ET culture, I haven't discovered who they are. I don't think the threat is that serious anymore, because you have not only made changes in dimension, which was vitally important, but you have also attained some growth. The main growth has happened in the last few years, where people around the world have begun to communicate with each other, not just through their government representatives, but directly. This has provided immense growth for people who can perform this communication, and it's becoming more frequent. Many more people are doing it. So I feel that the potential for that level of influence in a harmful way has been decreased to less than 20%. You have to understand that the tactic that would have been used by this culture would have been to continue to instigate and stimulate the differences in us versus them, depending upon who's us and who's them. In some places, this is working. You know where the hot spots are in your world, and those influences are being agitated and catching on there, even though there are some good things happening there as well, which doesn't always get presented to the public. Could they be allies of the sinister secret government and we just haven't talked about them before? No. They're not allies. As a matter of fact, they're enemies. And they're not what we call the Xpotas in the Shining the Light books. Number. We've never talked about this particular group, then? Exactly. Really? Can you please say more about them? They have no interest in the sinister secret government and would just as soon crush them. That's part of the reason the sinister secret government has made no effort and has discouraged any attempt to control or stifle communication on the internet. The SSG understands that a degree of unification of the Earth population, although at times going against their methods of manipulation, is necessary, because this other group who is coming from the past could not only easily destroy everything that they've set up, but could, in the process, destroy all that you know. I feel, as I say, that the chances of the success of this mission of past-oriented beings, is slight now, because of the contributions not only of the internet, but almost equally, not quite the same, of travel. People are traveling all over the place. But with travel there is still the communication difficulty. On the internet there is actually a significantly greater effort to improve the quality of communication, so people can, if not understand, then continue to query back and forth to each other, saying, what does that really mean? And let's try to understand that. In short, people want to know what things mean so that they can talk about them in shared communion. This is happening in a much more detailed way on the internet as compared to what happens with physical travelers. Still, even travel, which is much more accessible these days, is also helping somewhat. The Xums used 1914 as an anchor of discomforting energy. Has there been any incident that you could say was traced to these beings? Have they physically landed on the planet? What have they been doing since 1914? They used 1914 as kind of an anchor to find the Earth, since they can travel through time. They don't use ships as you understand them. They travel on the feeling line of discomforting energy. They can use that. That's part of the reason they want to agitate things. The more people who are upset, the more energy will be produced, much of which will not be resolved by individuals, because at this time they don't know how to resolve it. Just thinking positive doesn't always do it, as you know. So their intention to disrupt gives them access, and they use 1914 as an anchor, because obviously right around then there was some serious discomfort. Did they have anything to do with simulating WWANWI? No, not that they would have any compunctions, they would do it and be perfectly happy. You might ask yourself reasonably, why Earth? I'll tell you why. The culture on Earth has a great deal of discomforting energy, not Earth herself, but the culture does, and they are attracted to that. That is what they use to survive. Are they from a negative star system or planet? They are. You know that so-called negative planet in Sirius. Before that planet, culture existed, there was another one. That's how it got started. And the beings that we're talking about were from that other one. It predated their, let's say, discomforted planet in Sirius. They established and got it going on that planet you know about. But then they went on, looking for other places they could influence, and of course, they quickly found this one. But they couldn't find it without there being a tremendous wave of discomforting energy, so they needed almost like a radar that picks up something because the signal bounces back. It wasn't like that exactly, but they could feel it from great distances, because of it being so pronounced. That's why 1914 turned out to be the year that was used. So were these beings, then, from our past? Did we interact with them before, or against them or something? Never. They don't know you. They don't care about you. They just want the planet. They want the planet because they're mistakenly assuming that the planet itself is producing this discomforting energy. They're not that sophisticated, they don't realize that the planet herself is not producing that. It's one thing to allow it, but another thing to produce it. So they don't know. Can't somebody go tell them? Oh, they're not open to hearing that. Next headline, we can rescue ourselves using the love heat. What do we do to prevent even the 20% chance? A little less than 20%, closer to 18%. For how many years is there a possibility that they might come here? Oh, it's not measured in years, it has entirely to do with how well you learn to get along with each other on Earth. If you suddenly break out into a big war and so on, that will amplify the discomforting energy and they'll be all over you. That's why we were warning about this, because it doesn't have anything to do with what you would consider a normal invasion. You can't build fences and put out marksmen. That won't help. It has everything to do with your feeling. That's another reason the beings you've been working with for all this time are focusing now on how to be benevolent in feelings and actions, and putting out information in the shamanic secret books. It's all about feelings, because it's clear that what can prevent this is not only friendliness between other cultures, but the warmth, which is the physical evidence of love. The more people who are doing that all over the planet, the chances of the negative beings being able to find you, even if they're right here, are non-existent. So you have to recognize that we're not talking about beings who are traveling in a ship, they're not humanoids. If you could contact them and live to tell about it, it would be your first contact with something you're trying to fight that isn't humanoid, not counting disease organisms, which is something you try to fight that isn't humanoid. But it is a similar parallel. It's hard to describe. They change form, but they do not have the capacity to look like you or something like that. I can't describe it, but they're not even vaguely humanoid. They're obviously beyond the third dimension in the negative sense, if they can travel without ships. Here's one moment of one being. How it looked then. This is a top view. Draws. It's about that particular shape in that moment, which was really, in terms of your time, like a microsecond, maybe a little shorter time than that. They tend to be long, like that, draws. That shape, in terms of your spatial reference, is just a little less than 50 miles long. And maybe about the thickness of a finger. But see, they don't think about you as a culture. Your culture looks at the animals as if they are. What? Animals. It's a word used to denote a lesser being. Now look at how your culture looks at amoebas and protozoans. I'm talking about generally and certainly the scientific community. You don't think these beings could possibly have feelings. Granted, there's been some research there, but it isn't widely accepted. Of course, they have feelings. They have heart energy, if not a heart as you understand it. They have life, they have comfort, They have discomfort, they have souls. And these beings are looking at us like we look at amoebas. That's right, they're looking at you pretty much the same way you might look at germs. You wouldn't even think about it. Or let's put it this way, here's a good one someone just gave me. Laughs, Zoosh. Yes, he has that sense of humor, which is very ironic or a little unusual. You come to a restaurant, and you're getting ready to have your meal. Over in the corner, there is a part of the restaurant that isn't being used because it's later in the evening and they're making the restaurant a little smaller. You can see them beginning to remove the tablecloths, and the waiter grabs a tablecloth and he shakes out the crumbs. We're like the crumbs. From their point of view, it would be just like grabbing a tablecloth and shaking out the crumbs. They don't consider you a life form worth noticing. Would anybody step in and rescue us? It's up to you to rescue yourselves. I've just mentioned to you how it can be done. You're already doing it, and the heart/love/physical warmth, that's its actual definition, but the love heat is useful as a physical description because, of course, it's about physical, not about mental. So that is a very important means to assure they won't be able to end you. See how your perception has changed? Because talking to the professor, you said there was another civilization who was willing to step in and rescue us. That's why I asked that. But now you know that's not allowed. That was before we knew who you were. Now that we know who you are, we know that such things would not happen. Rescue, as your friend says, is out. But I didn't know that then, and neither did anybody else on the ship. Although, now that Hash recalled, here's a funny little sidelight you might enjoy. I remember when that was being told to the professor, that Playmate was doing. You'll have to describe the gesture for the recording. Oh, Playmate was waving a finger back and forth, as if to say, no, 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 no. Yes, Playmate was basically the only one on the ship who was indicating number where is Playmate from? Playmate is from another culture in Andromeda. Playmate is actually one of the wiser beings, because Playmate's culture is not typical of culture in Andromeda. Andromeda is known for mental development, but this culture in Andromeda is not focused in mental development. It is focused in feelings and the expression of feelings as an influence for benevolence. They are happy to volunteer. That's why they make wonderful playmates for the children, although I personally feel they have much more to offer. Nevertheless, my opinion is not always shared by those who, how can we say, encourage our society. They are members of our people. Playmate was the only one on board who indicated, no, 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 but only a physical gesture, never speaking out. That culture is really very advanced, I feel, because they don't try to command or control or take authority or usurp authority. Rather, their intention is to teach through physical and feeling. Playmate is probably an important person for you to at least hear from this time. Yes, yes, I'd like to. Next headline, the planet Inkstria and the Andromedan system. How do you pronounce your home planet? There are two spellings in the book, Enstria and Inkstria. First M drawing the tone, the way you say it in tone. Draws. I think you have this kind of thing on your planet, it's a way of speaking. Not just referencing the language, but how the voice goes up and the voice goes down. I think there are people on your planet who specialize in that. Now, how can we get this phonetic? When you do these hyphens, you understand, I'm really just breaking up syllables, the hyphens aren't actually there. Yes, oh, that's nothing like what they printed in the book. Well, you have to remember that in the Spanish language, X is pronounced S. That's why it's very helpful with these books. If there are any other books that were originally printed in another language, it would be good to have someone to consult on the words, what they might mean, and the sounds. This would just be simply for the sake of simplicity, so you don't have to struggle. Sinka. All right. It's in the Beta Andromeda star system, right? Yes. About how many planets are considered part of the Andromedan system? When you say, I'm from the Andromedan system, are we talking one? A thousand? I mean, How many actual inhabited planets are there? Millions. Millions. So how many have you personally explored? And how many have the people from your planet explored? 10? 20? Hundreds? Oh, the people from our planet. How many have not actually explored, but, well, how can we say it? Do you sort of all know about each other? Is there an Andromedan internet or something like that? Laughs. Yes, we all know about each other, and people from my planet have often gone out to other planets, just like the people from other planets have often come to ours. Travel is free and unencumbered, so people go if they want to go. It's not difficult, it's easy to do. Some planets have a theme, others are multicultural or multi-themed. It's a wide variety. Would you say that your planet has a theme? No, I'd say it's multi-themed. Do they mostly look like you? The people on the planet? No, the people in all of Andromeda. Is your type mostly representative, or are there all different types? Most of the people I've met or heard about are what I would call humanoid, but my teachers tell me that there are others. I just don't see them. So this I would take to be using your term, on other dimensions. Of course, there are others on the planet you're living in, on other dimensions, when you don't see, who aren't humanoid. So this, I believe, is a natural state of affairs. Next headline, Andromedans become more feeling-oriented. Would you say that on most of Andromeda, there is a quest and a search for knowledge? You have feelings, but you really want to know mentally? No, not most, but some of Andromeda. It used to be most. But that's changed. You're becoming more feeling-oriented? Yes, I think that Playmates culture represents that sort of movement toward the value of feelings and so on, and how it can be not just a way to feel better, but also a means to know more. Here's an example. Playmates people once explained something to me that they considered simple. Chuckles. It was quite enlightening to me at the time, and that's that Playmates people were talking about thinking and how we would think in our culture then. This was a few years ago when I was still training. And the people, Playmates people, said, if you want to increase your capacity to think, you will take note of the feelings that you have when you are having interesting, fascinating thoughts. Just take note of how you feel in your body, and focus on those feelings. Then at some other time or even right then, it's best to do it right then, relax into the feelings and focus as much as you can on feeling these feelings. You do that for a while. It would be different for our culture than it is for yours. You will improve your capacity, your actual capacity to think, and from your point of view on Earth, you would say you would improve your IQ. Oh, that's beautiful. And did you do this? Oh, yes, right away. It was fascinating. That's really how I was blessed, is the way I look at it, that I was exposed to this early on in my training. That's what allowed me to do 100 years of training in 60 years. Aha, well, we'll put this out. Laughs, it should work for us, too. There's just one little aside here. Are you aware that we're told that our mind, our linear mind, is from Andromeda, and that we're training it to accept physical feelings and then we're going to give it to the Sirians on the third dimension? I didn't know about giving it to the Sirians on the third dimension. Our experience of that knowledge is that we are going to retrieve it. We are, in fact, retrieving it now, and it is making the melding of the feeling much easier. Oh, that's great. I've got goosebumps, that's wonderful. Laughs. See how things fit together? Yes. Would you turn around and ask Zoosh if I'm wrong? Jay thought that it was eventually to go to the Sirians on the third dimension. Well, only part of it, Zoosh says. The vast majority returns to Andromeda. He's explaining. He says that it mostly goes to us on Andromeda, but the mechanism, the way things work, will be used by the beings coming along. That's wonderful. See, that's what the Explorer Race is. We have so many challenges, we're doing so many things for so many people, concepts, resolutions, everything. To me, that, What you just said is the best explanation as to why it would even be appealing to use a keyboard to type in your language. Laughs, challenges everywhere. It's not just because you have fingers. Another challenge.